Parshat Lech Lecha. Okay, Abraham comes to Eretz Canaan, and a lot of this comes from some essays by Rav Yoel ben Nun, also at the Gush. Notice that there are two Britot in this parsha. There's the Brit Ben Petarim and Brit Mila at the end. And we're looking at both of those. Looking at the words here, the first one, Brit Ben Petarim,
have the wire.
Early on, Vayomer Eliv, and God says to Avram, Ani Hashem Asher Tziti Yichem Eor Kasdim, I am God who took you out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Hilachat Ha'aretz Hazot Rishta, to get this land to inherit it. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, B'meh Edak Yerashene, and Avram asks, how do I know that I'll inherit it? Vayomer Eliv, K'chali, Eglam U'Shuleshet, take a trio of calves, Oz Mishulesha, Ez Mishulesha, and a trio of goats, the Ail Mishulash, and a trio of rams, the Torb Gozal, and a dove and a turtle dove, which I don't know what the difference are. They Kachloa call Ela, so Avram gets all these animals, by Betero Tabatabek, and splits them down the middle. They take each betrothal Krat Rehu, and he lines them all up, one half next to the F, next to the other, Benetiporlo Batar, and doesn't split the birds.
How did he know to do that?
Hashem tells him, the Vayomer Elav is God telling to Abraham, take these for me.
Right, but does he say cut them?
He doesn't. So oh. I don't know if that's implied somewhere in God's knowledge of that, but I don't know. He cuts them in half. That's a good question. And birds of prey came down on them, and Abraham shooes them away. Symbolic of whatever symbolism is there. Don't worry about that. But he is Shemesh Lafo, and the sun is about to set. The Tadema Naflal Abram, and Avraham falls asleep. And a fearsome darkness falls upon Avraham. And Hashem tells Avram, Yadoa Teida Ki Ger Yezeracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, Vavadum Vino Tam Arba Meot Shana. Avram, you should know that your descendants will be strangers in a strange land, and they will serve them, and they will be oppressed for 400 years. And the nation that enslaves them, I will judge. And then they will leave with great wealth. But you will die in peace. You will come to your ancestors in peace. You'll be buried in old age. The fourth generation will return here to this land, because the sin of the Emori in this land will not be finished until then. But Yeshemesh Ba'a, and after the sun had gone down, and it was dark, and he saw a smoky furnace, and a burning torch, Asher Avar Ben Gazrima Elia, that was passing between these split animals. And this was the Brit that Hashem made with Avram and said, I'm giving your descendants this land, Nahar Mitzrayim and Nahar Gadol, Nahar Prat, from the river of Egypt to the great river to the Euphrates. That's Brit of Benavitari.
And then what was later, that thing about the Emory?
Yeah.
Fourth generation. Why? Kilo Shilem
Avon Hemori. The idea that the Canaanim warrant being kicked out. And he's saying they don't, the Emory is a general term for the what we call Canaanim, and they don't deserve to be displaced yet.
Yet, okay,
right.
So they have four generations.
That's right. You know, you count the names: Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. But you know, you can count the generations that would. And then, much later, this was probably, you know, according to Rashi, when he was 70. Now, almost 30 years later, is Brit Milah. V'yi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'Tishyei Shashnim. Avram is 99 years old. V'yira Hashem al Avram, and Hashem appears to Avram. V'yomer Lav Ani Kel Shakai. I am God of Shaddai, the one who said enough. Walk before me, be perfect. Simple enough. Just be perfect.
Yep.
Ve'na et briti b'nei v'necha v'arbercha b'mo'od, and I will have my, and I will set, I'm going to make a note over here to change this.
I have another definition for tamim. I think it means good enough.
Okay, and that's, you know, in the context of a commandment from God to be tamim, you know, to be simple. Yeah, it's a tough thing to translate in that context. Yeah, clearly, perfect is not something that God ever wants from anybody.
Right.
Okay.
Be, have some integrity.
Okay. And I will make my covenant, my brief between you and me, and you will be, the underline should be under the brief part. I'm pointing out the brief part. And you will become numerous. By a pillar of Avram Panav, and Avram falls on his face. By deberi toil kim lemar. And God speaks to him and says the following. Ani, as for me, hinei briti itcha, this is the breed I'm making with you. You'll be the ancestor of many, of a multitude of nations. And you won't be called Abram anymore, but yashimcha Avraham. Get the extra letter. Because you are the father of a multitude of nations. Av Hamon. We read Abraham.
Oh, it's not God's name, the hey.
I mean, you can say that, but that's not the way he words it.
Yeah, just, this, you say, I like, right.
Nukadrion, in the sense of harmonia.
Yeah.
And you'll be fruitful, but ma'od ma'od, really fruitful. And you'll become many nations. And you'll be ancestor of kings. And I will establish this covenant with you and with your descendants. An eternal breed. I will be your God, and to your descendants. And I will give your descendants this land that you are dwelling in, and call Eretz Canaan, this land of Canaan, lachuzat olam, for an eternal inheritance. And I will be their God. And Hashem says now to addressing him now as Avraham. That's your new name. And this is your deal. You have to keep the covenant also. You and your descendants. This is the breed that you will keep between you and your children and their descendants. Himolachem kol zachar brit milah for the men. And you will cut off the foreskin. That is the oath brief. Rabbi Nun has an article where he goes through and points out the differences between these two britot, right? Britotarim, and his points, and it's selection from his points. He has a table in there. For Britotarim, he noticed that the gift is not. It's called Haaretz. It's called Haaretz, not called any, right? It is Haaretz from Nahar Mitzrayim and Nahar Gadol, Nahar Parat. With Brit Milah, it is Eretz Canaan. He's got an article just about that. The other thing is Brit Matarim, Abraham B'tar Dema, but Brit B'chizayon. Abraham is asleep. He is out. He just has a vision with God, but in the Brit Milah, later one, Abraham upo el bakorit. Abraham is awake. He's the one who intentionally falls on his face. He is not asleep during this second breed. Rebentarim, he says, Hayutu histori lumi. The destiny that they're talking about is national. They will rule over this land. And Brit Milah, Hayudhi Dati Tevi'i, that his destiny is religious. I will be your God, you will be my people, you will do this religious act. There's a mitzvah there.
Where does it say Lidorot? It says Kol Zachar. Okay.
Kol Zachar, right. Lidorot. Tom, both of them are Lidorot. You know, this is. Baby Dream doesn't say Lidorot. Olam here, it just is a brit, and you're going to have these four generations, and then you're going to come back.
Yeah. Well, what I mean is, the second one we all have to keep doing this, Mila. But the first one, we don't have to keep cutting animals in half.
Right, right. That's to be his biggest point, is that the first one doesn't involve anything on Abraham or his descendants' part.
Right.
Abraham is asleep during the whole thing. Abraham is completely passive, and Hashem says, "This is what's going to happen."
No, but he has to take those animals. Oh, that happened. Well,
yeah, but tell me, that's not part of the Brit. That's the symbol of the we make the Brit now, but not it's not ongoing. That's your point.
Yeah, right.
Right. That in terms of what makes this a Brit, you know, Hashem says this is what's going to happen in the future, and there's nothing there. Abraham, you need to do the following. That's not Brit Benatarim. Brit Milah has that, and the other, and similarly, the Brit Benatarim Hamimush. The fulfillment, the making reality of it. But Tira Rachok is in the far distant, Ludor Revi, right? Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that's not going to be happening for another 400 years. But Brit Milah, Brit Mukimat Miyad. Right, it's right now. Abram does the Brit Milah, his status, his family. And it continues on forever. This will be, it's from now and forever as opposed to this event in the far future. The way he's reading it, Brit Benatarim isn't a covenant, it's not an agreement so much as a statement. It's a promise. Hashem says, your descendants will have this role in history. This will happen. You will be slaves, you will come out, Rechush Gadol, and you will have the land from the Euphrates to the Nile. And that's what he means. It's histori le'umi. It's a national historic. And it won't apply for generations. Meaning it won't apply. It doesn't apply now. Abraham, you're going to live your life. You're going to die. You're not going to see any of this. That Israel's moment in its stage of history lies far in the future. Brit Milah is what we usually sense this covenant, the treaty, agreement. It introduces this idea of mitzvah, commandedness. Here's the first command Abraham gets that applies to him and his descendants. Abraham's awake. He has responsibilities. He's got to do something. And he has to do two things. One is the act of milah on him by himself now, and transmitting the mitzvah to his descendants. That's his responsibility. And in return, he gets Eretz Canaan. But Rabbi Nun says it's not a matter of conquest. It's not even a matter of sovereignty. Achuzat Olam doesn't imply rulership any more than I'm not sovereign in my house. I own it, I live it, but it does nothing tell me about what the government is. Okay, it's Eretz Canaan is a place to fulfill the commandments. And Brit Benatarim, the term is used to l'rashta, which does imply ruling over it, because it implies removing those who lived there before, and we see that in the actual command about Horash Temet Yoshei Aretz in Bamidbar. Rash Temesh Aretz Yoshei, you will literally cast out the inhabitants before you, and you will wipe out all of their worship stones, the cult samayit, and all their idols, tovedu, you will wipe out, the kolba matam tashmir, destroy their altars, rosh temet aretz, and you will empty out the land, vishav temba, and you'll dwell there, kilachem atati haaretz la reshet. That's what reshet means. As Rashi says, okay, Brit Benatarim is sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
He also makes a bigger deal about the difference between Haaretz, the land, and Brit Benatarim. Especially when you see what Rashi understands, the chronology that Brit Benatarim happened when Avram was still in Haran before he goes to Canaan. Hashem promises him the land. In Brit Milah, it's just Eretz Canaan. And when he says it, Eretz Canaan is a place. Defined borders, that's talked about in the Parsha Noach. This is where the Canaanim lived, these places. In Parsha Maaseh, there's lots of details what cities are in Eretz Canaan. But Haaretz is much more vague.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense of Brit Benatarim, it's where the influence of Bnei Yisrael is felt. That's the way Rabbi Liebtech puts it, that in Brit Benatarim, Haaretz is defined land between the Nile and Euphrates. And these rivers are not borders. Never in the history of mankind have these rivers marked the borders of a single country. Right, these rivers mark the two centers of ancient civilization between Mesopotamia and Egypt. So Nahar Mitzrayim to Nahar Parat means from the two ends of the earth, sociologically speaking. Okay, we become a nation declaring God's name at the crossroads of the two centers of civilization. And that's what to rule in Haaretz means, that we will have influence over all of civilization, at least from the perspective of the ancient Middle East. And this is the way Rav Ben Nun puts it. He eventually talks about that in the Gemara and the Chazal, they talk about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But that expression doesn't appear in the Torah in that sense. But as opposed to in the Gemara, in the Torah, it has the following language. Torah, in the Torah itself, another expression. There's another expression that in the language of the Chachamim and the way we speak today has the mata'en hamyuchad, the unique burden, the unique content, the implications of Eretz Yisrael.
I don't know that word, mata'en.
Mata'en, to'en is to a load. Mata'en means a payload. So I'm saying, that's what I meant, the implications of a word. I'm trying to think of a good English word, the right English word for that. So the meaning behind the expression. Implications is probably what of the term Eretz Yisrael, Muvana Kudusham Yukedet, specifically the unique holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Bitui Zehu Haaretz, the Heyadia, to say the land. Yosem Et Haaretz, that's what it means. Haaretz Yudu'ah, Hanifcheret, the chosen land, Hayudu, Yehudah, the one that is designated, Muftachet, the one that's promised.
You know, today, to this day, we say, I'm going to Aretz.
Aretz, right.
That's what B'nai Akiva used to talk.
Right. So that when he says, Aretz, that we do use that expression. That's the Torah word. Aretz, the land.
Yeah.
With a capital H. Yodrakach. And more than that, Aretz, meaning Aretz and Ivcheret V'yuda, the chosen land. The land of destiny, like Yud.
Maybe it means more designated.
Designated, yeah. We're going to use the term Yud in terms of destiny later, but yeah, I think here it means designated. This is the land. Miyatseget, I think.
Or now it's now the ways, the Hebrew, you've gotten to your destination.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Yud.
Higata la Yud.
Yud, interesting, okay. So that's good. So for Lech Lecha, Haaretz Asher Areka, that was Abraham's destination from the divine ways.
You'll find out how to go.
Okay. But is Miyatzeget B'ze'er Anpin symbolizes in small, literally Ze'er Anpin is a Kabbalistic term, the little face.
You mean a little physical, like a little word? No, what?
Ze'er Anpin is Aramaic for the little face.
The little what?
Face. Like panim? Yes.
Oh.
So Kabbalistically, that expression refers to the lower seven sphirot, or six sphirot except for Yisod, meaning how God manifests in the world. That's a Ze'er Anpin as opposed to the infinite. But here he's using that as sort of that Haaretz in sense of Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz HaKodesh, is a symbol writ small of El Aretz Mishma'ut Tebel Kula, in the sense of the whole world. Let's explain that. Israel is a microcosm of the planet itself.
Don't we have a word for that? Like when one word represents a bigger thing?
A synecdoche.
A what?
Synecdoche.
Yeah. Is that what they're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Okay, and specifically, Bereshit Hayta Aretz, in the beginning Hashem created Haaretz, the whole thing.
Oh.
Haaretz, Hatevel meaning the inhabited world. Adam b'chlo notzar l'reshet ota. Mankind was created to inherit the whole thing, to occupy the whole thing. Kayim bat yudo, and to fulfill. Here yud means destiny. To fulfill his destiny that failed. Basof b'toch tevel kula, and but at the end, from out of all of the inhabited planet, nivchara ha'aretz hazo. This land was chosen. B'toch Adam nivchar Avram. Avram was chosen to fulfill that. Mishivchar Avram, Mishachal Aretz and Nivcheret. So Avram, when Avram was chosen, he sent to this land, L'kayim Bateyud, to fulfill that destiny, L'shmor Derech Hashem L'asot Tzedakah Mishpat. That's what in next week's Parsha Hashem describes Avraham. And Avram will fulfill the way of God doing Tzedakah Mishpat.
That's beautiful. We have to remember that. It's not just to rule, but
And that's exactly why he's reading that. That there's the rule here is not so much to be the boss, but to be that because the reshet et goyim to wipe out the other nations is not talking about killing them. You can see that it's cultural genocide. In other words, we're going to establish our culture as the dominant culture. That's the tzedakah mishpat. That's the important.
Oh. Nice.
We clear in terms of halacha is that you don't have to kill all the Shiva Amin.
Oh.
Kolomar, Eretz Yisrael, Muvan Shemifiyah Chachamim, that the expression Eretz Yisrael in the language of Chachamim, Yikra B'lashna Torah Ha'aretz, or Aretz Hazot, the land. As in Zaracha, Teh to Aretz Hazot, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Ribra Tarim is Ha'aretz. Okay, nice. You will be the model human being, okay? So that's the responsibility in terms of the Brit. That's Avraham's responsibility. Not so much the specific mitzvot, to be a human being, literally to be a mensch.
And it's also not borders.
Right.
Euphrates and the Nile and that, yeah.
It's not specific border. It's wherever you know, and yes, you should spread as far as possible.
Right.
Okay. And he continues, Lumatzo, and as opposed to this Ha'aretz, Eretz Kanaan, the Brit B'Metarim, or rather Brit Mila is Mishur Hazika by Shachut Shabo Anu Dinim Karega, in the expression that we're using it now, Mavtet Hargashat Shachut Tivit Rigila is talking about a country.
Yeah.
With borders. Lo Shum Ila Yehudi, without any specific character to it.
What is Hazika?
Where are you? Zika is identity. That's not the right response. What's the right word for Zika's responsibility?
Shayachut is belonging.
And right. What is relevance?
What is Mishor? The Mishor?
The field. In the area of.
Oh.
In the.
So Zika
is the subject.
Uh-huh.
Let's go over here. Let's
go over here. Hazika?
Translating, this is very slow. The affinity. Link. Attachment relationship.
Okay, Shayachut is also.
Yeah, so I mean, that's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
The relationship, the relevance, that in the air that we're talking about right now. Alichala Eretz Kanan. And so when Avram goes to Eretz Kanan, Mubuvan Hativi, Arashi, personal, natural, it's just a country. It started with Terach. Right, that was right. Last week's parsha. Terach is what he goes to Eretz Kanan. That's his goal. Lo yadei Avraham. Avraham didn't do it. And he says, it's not clear why. Is he going there to earn a living? Because it's a great place for business. Because it's at the crossroads, again, of the civilization. So, if you want to make money, it's a good place to go. I don't know if that's still true. It's a good place to make money. Or maybe because it's natural treasures. Because it's got nice scenery and beaches. Exactly why Terach went to Haran. Oh, Krevatayam, Amidbar. They can go see all the desert. It's beautiful. And he allows that there may be some spiritual importance to there, and he quotes Rabbi Yehuda Levi, Mishima Shagir Yish Terach Be'eretz Canaan, but they're going to Eretz Canaan as a place to settle. In other words, from the point of view of the of Eretz, when it says Eretz Canaan in the Brit Milah, it's the place that you do mitzvot ayin. And I just like this particular quote from this guy, Misha Sol, who mostly is talking about, the article is about Israeli television series and why Israeli television is so great. Everyone loves on Netflix and phenomenal cosmic powers, itty bitty living space.
Yep.
So that's the comment. So it continues on this. So it's day TV Yisod. These two fundamental ways of understanding, these two kind of britot, mukufelet b'shtei britot, that are enveloped in these two britot.
But it's from kaful, like doubled.
Yeah. That's where the chaf.
Yeah.
Mukufelot. I see what Google says.
Mukufelot. It's doubled.
Yeah. Fold it. There we go. And fold it in. So okay. These two understandings of relationship with Hashem between Brit Benatarim and Brit Milah. Again, this is historic destiny versus the personal we do mitzvot in these two Britot. Brit Milah, Brit Benatarim. They're very different. They're expressed as in the Hagdarat Ha'aretz, in the definition of what land we're talking about, both by a Brit and how the Brit happened, whether Avraham is a participant or is simply asleep. Tochen HaBrit, Humash Mutah, what it is. So, summarize. Brit Benatarim is Hashem's promise that Avraham's descendants will be his representatives on earth. That's your historical destiny. Brit Milah is the deal between Avraham and Hashem. Avraham's descendants keep the mitzvot, and they get to live in the land of Israel, which is a place where the mitzvot are to be done. Very different kinds of britot.
Yeah.
And when you look at that, and you realize that, have you ever read Kol Dodi Dofek?
No.
Rav Soloveitchik? Have you heard of it?
Oh, Kol Dodi Dofek, yes. I did read it.
Okay.
That's a little itty-bitty book.
It is. It was given originally as a speech in Yiddish in 56.
Wow.
To the religious Zionists. Because Rav Soloveitchik always spoke in Yiddish until he realized that nobody understood him. And switched, I think, around the 1960s to English, but wrote in Hebrew. So it was given in Yiddish, then written in, he wrote it in Hebrew for a magazine, which is the Kol Dodi Dofek that's been published, translated into English in 1990. But he looks at these same two kind of britot. He looks at the britot not so much with Abraham, but with Bnei Israel as they leave Egypt, and distinguishes between this Brit Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Brit Sinai. But it has the same distinction. Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the people are just there. They don't have to do anything. They stay at home, and Hashem does all the work, and they take them out. At Sinai, they have to say Naseh v'Nishma. That's when they get mitzvot. They have to do them. And he uses a term that's a famous term that the distinction is his. The first one is Brit Goral, translates a covenant of fate. That's something that you don't have a choice in. You are who you are. You are Jewish, so you are part of the Brit Goral. The second is Brit Yud. Again, that's that word here.
Yeah.
Which is, again, translated as the covenant of destiny. Or you can put it as the covenant of destination. That works. But that requires you to actively participate in and willingly become part of. And this is the way he puts it in Kol Dodi Dofek. And we're going to try to read Rav Soloveitchik in Hebrew here. See if we get any of the words. Brit Goral Mahi. What is this Brit Goral? The covenant of fate.
He wrote these words. This is not a translation. He wrote this.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. He translated his own Yiddish into Hebrew. This is his Hebrew.
Okay.
That fate, in the sense that he's using it specifically, presents itself seen in the life of a nation, just like in the life of an individual. It is predetermined. It is forced. You don't have a free will there. Korech muzar mlachedet pratim lachal echad. Literally a strange sandwich. It is a unique confluence of circumstances come together to create your goral in this sense. Yachid kafufu mshubad bal korcho. The individual is literally bent over and enslaved against his will. Mtsiut halumita goroli, to be part of the national fate. Again, he's looking back at the Holocaust, saying that being Jewish, I mean, this is 1956, so he's still looking back at that, suffering was not something that anyone willingly did. They were Jewish, therefore that happened. V'yav sharlishta mate mimena, you can't abandon it. L'hibalav mitziyut acheret chutzala, and to go become part of some other existence. That's gora. Mitoch hargashat mitziyut hakrachit goralit, and from the sense of inevitable fate, v'vatzetzet, really bubbles up, v'oleb b'diyuto historic shel yudit, sprouts and arises the historical isolation of the Jew. U'galmud, he's alone, b'chayav, alay admut, in his life on this earth, v'gamoto, and even his death.
Galmud?
Galmud is alone, or loneliness.
Really?
Let's see if I can get it. It's very poetic. Lonely.
Oh.
Okay.
I never heard it.
Ooh, forlorn. That's a good way to translate it. I'm going to use that one. Okay, he is forlorn in his life, alei admut, on the earth, gamotoni, even in death. And he has an essay, part of his essay there is about the nature of that Jews have a separate cemetery. Todat shituf goral, his awareness of his being part of this fate, mafia, todat shituf ma'orut, is an awareness of the fact that he's part of the circumstances that he lives in. He has no control over it. Kulanu shirim b'tuchum goral achid, and we are all part of this common fate. Hamakasher kol shechvot ha'am, that ties together everywhere where the nation, where the Jews exist. Al kol chalkav shvatav, and all of its separation, all of its parties, all its parts, and all the tribes. Mafle ben mama lamamad, and it doesn't distinguish between one situation and next, ben Israel, from one person and the next. Where we are all one. We are forced to be all one. That's his brit goral. That is the inevitable destiny. That's something you have a choice in. That is brit yitzhiyah mitzrayim. That is, in Rabbi Nun's perspective, brit ben ha'batarim. It is going to happen. The slavery is going to happen. There's nothing that's going to change that. Nothing involves you. Brit yud mahi. So what is the covenant of destiny? Hayud mitzayim b'chayuma. And your destiny appears in the life of a nation, just like with an individual. It is intentional. That the nation chose willingly, chose by its free will. And within it, it realized that realizatzia hamlea, the complete realization, it acknowledges its historic existence, accepting that. Umam or Rabatoch Hayud, the nation is buried and enmeshed in its destiny, Bishel Kisufa, through its desire. Kayem.
Ora, you're saying is.
Ora, it was translated that as enmeshed.
Oh.
See how they put it here.
I thought it was more like uri, you know.
Rooted, here we go.
Oh, rooted.
Rooted, embedded.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Embedded. Embedded b'toch ha'yud, From it's kisufal kiyuma mishuchlal. Mishuchlal is elaborate.
Michelle kisufiha.
Kisufeha, it's desire. Kisuf means the origin of the word kesef.
Oh.
As that which is wanted, right? Kesef is simply a symbol of desire.
Yeah. Huh.
Kesef is to want. Desire to have its complete existence, an existence that has purpose and direction.
Okay, and what is Mishuchlal?
Shuchlal, that the English translation translates as elaborate, but
okay,
a full existence.
Boy, these
lots
are
lots of parts.
Odd words, right?
I know, that's why I'm really work on this. Okay, that's it. That you want to be more than just. Hayud destiny who Ma'ayan is ha-mapecha. Destiny is the upwelling spring. Shall hitalut yehudit shaluma of the unique qualities of the nation, Bazarem, and the outpouring, habiltiposek, the unceasing outpouring, shall hashra'ah ha-yona of God of the of literally God's influence, of the elevated, of the higher influence, that does not fade away. As long as the way of the people, the action of the people is marked by the divine law. From Tav. Okay? Chayyud, the life this within the Gora, the Brit Gora, the Brit Yud of destiny, im chayim mekavanim, there is an intentional life. Pri dvichut hakrachit, the fruit of the necessary dvichut direction, preparation, ubichurach avshin, free will.
This is very appropriate. The day after the bichirot.
That's right. That's what you mean. You choose your destiny. You can choose your destiny.
Right.
Don't choose fate, but here is your job just to choose the destiny. Right? Which one gets pushed off the cliff?
Right.
That was your joke.
I know, the kolpi.
Okay, hapilut hayitzronit, these formative actions, hamamalat brit hayud, that fill this brit yud, this covenant of destiny. Kolachat hi springs out in Makar Acher Lagamre, comes out from a completely different source than the faith in the Goral. Mimiridat Adam b'chayim ha'avodatiyim k'mo shehem. From a person's rebellion against his chayim avodatiyim, servile life.
Yeah.
As they are. Minacherek ha'mepa'em bo, and with kind of an exception, the difference is that resonate within him, the tzirat kiyum yoter, to some kind of form of a greater existence, na'alot v'nisgavot, a higher and better existence. That is kol d'yafik. So his essay in here in kol d'yafik is that, you know, talking to Americans, really, and this is where he changes from aguda to mizrahi. In this time, is looking at, we've just suffered through the Goral.
Oh.
It's now time to embrace the Yud, the destiny, and actively do.
Actively, yeah. Right.
And that's what the Kol D'Dofek, and then the essay goes on to, these are the Shesh D'Fekot, these are the six knocks that God is knocking on the door. We have to get up and listen and do something.
Why didn't he ever make Aliyah? Just...
I don't know the answer to that.
Age? Family?
I don't know. I don't know enough to say. It's obviously a question that would be asked.
Yeah.
Rav Lichtenstein, his son-in-law, did.
Yeah.
The one who would have been clearly would have been the Rosh Hashiva at YU.
Oh.
If he hadn't made Aliyah. I'm sure we could, I'm sure the question's been asked. I don't have an answer. I don't know Rosh
Hashiva. It might have been a, you know, health or family or
Or even the sense of responsibility. You know, he had his
I
place
don't, I
for
don't, I wouldn't
you.
think so. I would think he would have wanted to leave, and not because he more
See
important
if
thing
we
to
have
do
any.
in America, but whatever. I don't know. We'll look into it.
Let's see if our search engine comes up with a quick answer. Quick article. I'm sure there are articles about it. Okay, that's a Rebbe.
Okay.
No, Rosavetchik. Nope. Yeah. Nope. Nothing.
What was the very beginning?
That's the Rebbe. That's the Lubavitch.
Oh, so wait, why my family? Who wrote that one?
Oh, I
Go
don't
up,
know.
go up, go, go, go.
Up and down.
Why Rav Soloveitchik, go, well, up or down? Yeah, bring up more choices. There was one that said, why
Yeah, so
my
basically,
family?
my family.
Ah,
Yeah,
here it is.
his
Oh,
blog
no.
by
No,
Abraham.
I thought maybe it was by
No,
Soloveitchik.
no.
All right, we'll
Okay,
find
so
it.
I do not have a good answer,
Okay,
but it
yeah.
didn't happen. You said it was important, right? So, I don't, did he not hear the Dofik? Okay, so the Brit Goral, the museum is trying, was to fulfill the Brit Planetarium, direct intervention of God in history.
Wait, does he link these two to the two Britot?
No, Rav
He
Soloveitchik
doesn't link it, yeah.
connects the Brit Goral to Yitzhi, the Brit Yitzhiya Mitzrayim.
Oh, right.
I'm saying it's obvious. It obviously seems to be the film of Brit Planetarium, which talks about Yitzhiya Mitzrayim.
Yeah,
I'm making the
okay.
two connection here, right?
Yeah.
I was hoping to find that connection because it seems so
Yeah.
obvious,
Yeah.
but it's not in Kol Di Devavim. I don't
Okay.
know, have it here. So I make it right up. There's a distinction in our parsha between two Britot. There's a distinction
Yeah.
in parsha bo between two Britot. They seem to go together. Okay, and that's
And
what.
the second one is Sinai.
Sinai, right. On
Him.
Sinai,
Yeah.
Bnei Yisrael said, yes, we will do this. We will do
Yeah.
this. Yep. That's Mamre HaSinai, and that's the renewal of Brit Milah. Brit Milah was Sinai writ small. It's one mitzvah to be passed down. Sinai is all the mitzvot to be
Yeah.
passed down. Okay? Midat Shumah B'charabo B'Ritzonah HaChofshi. The relationship with Hashem is a dialectic between these two Britot. Both of them are true. And when I'm going to end with the idea, we look at the parsha. They're two different names of God. Go back, we said, okay. If you look at it here, okay, Brit Benavatarim is Ani Hashem, da, 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 right? Bayomahu Karat Hashem at Brit, right? Shema Vaya. Rima starts with Bayar Hashem Elav, Brit Shema Vaya, and then immediately switches to.
Elohim.
Elokim. It's Elokim,
Elohim.
and this is a Hayiti Lachem Elokim. It's all Hashem Elokim. Read
You
me a
know,
lot.
Danny, there's another little link between Bein HaBetarim and Mitzrayim. Go back up the language. Ani Hashem Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. You
So
know,
you're casting. That definitely is. That
it
definitely has
definitely
that echo
echoes,
there.
right?
Right. I took you out, and we're going to take you out later. Also, that's good.
Yeah. And it fits with your thing about Bein HaBetarim is like Mitzrayim, the Brit.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good, Phyllis. Okay.
Okay. So looking at the names of God, we talked about that last time. Looking at the
Yeah.
names representing kind of the theme of the text there. B'chol makom Hashem Shema Vayez Midat Rachamim. And Shlomo Kamishem Elokim did, but that does that idea of Rachamim doesn't seem to fit. Brit Bin Atarim is the slavery for years. Why are we using the name of Rachamim there? What does Midat have to do with Brit Milah? That doesn't fit. But the answer is that this distinction between Midat Hadin Midat Rachamim is deeper than how the. Whether God is acting good or merciful or harsh, but Shulman made that point that it refers to something much deeper than that. Okay, the Midat HaDin and Midat HaRachamim is the distinction between God's immanence and transcendence. We feel the hand of God in the world, whereas God is far away. Elohim is the sense of transcendent nature, distant. Midat HaRachamim, Shem Havaya, is Hashem as involved in our lives, a personal relationship. Okay, and that gets very Kabbalistic. Rachamim is the idea that everything is one. Din is the idea that there are distinctions to be made. And that's really the difference between these two sides. That the Brit Brit Mitzvahim is Shem Havaya.
Shem what?
Shem Havaya. Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the halachic term for the personal name of God. Okay, the Hashem is imminent. Hashem is in history. That we see Hashem in history. That's Brit Brit Mitzvahim. We are the representatives of God on earth. If we're doing that, then that's Shem Havaya. The Brit Milah, though, starts with Shem Havaya, and then switch to Emokim. It's got to have that because nature of Brit implies a personal connection. So we start with that, but we don't feel it always. This idea that we're God's representative on earth, that doesn't seem to apply. So the Brit Goral, which would be the same Havaya, is evidence in the great moments in history. Right? That's the Sheish Devekot, when you hear God knocking, that's when you see Hashem Hashem Havaya. But the Brit Yehud, the destiny, because it involves us, it applies even when we don't feel God's presence. When all we feel is this Elohim, nature, like the blind watchmaker idea of God. The universe exists. We're just cogs in it. We still have to fulfill the mitzvot. That's when our side of it applies. And that's what the Brit Milah is. And that's when we say, no, we're going to be part of this. We're going to be part of the destiny. We're going to make our own choices here. So that Brit Milah applies even when all we experience is the Midat HaDin, the Shem Elokim. But that act of doing the mitzvot, we say Nasa Nishma. That makes us part of something larger. That is our side of the Brit. So we need both of those. But it's really the Brit Milah Brit that we do ourselves as opposed to just being.
Nice.
So let's continue on. Continue to do mitzvot. We should still hear the Devik, the Hashem Dofek and Make Aliyah.
I'm waiting for you.
I know it. Yeah, Aaron. Davina's husband keeps bugging me.
Who bugs you?
Davina's husband, my son-in-law.
That's Rosenblum, right?
Yeah.
So you have two Aarons? No.
Yeah.
Oh, the other one is Reuben, something?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the one who's the brother.
Shabbos
guest.
Yes, that's Aaron Rubin, who's in Kansas City. You had his brother as your Shabbos guest. Okay.
Oh, that's nice. We have two Shmuels. You have two Aarons.
Yeah, and we have an Aria also. And then Leora just married herself a Gershon, which doesn't fit at all.
Listen, you know, you don't want in... At Mayav Esim, you don't want people to say, you know, why didn't Danny make Aliyah?
And then they'll Google that.
Danny Wolfsbeck make Aliyah.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording.